Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you know what time it is. It's No Chaser. I am JT. That name is Jerry Taylor, co-host of this show. Number to call in is 347-637-3220. The man with the plan, the host of the show, Mac Williams. He's here right now.
What's up, what's up, what's up, everybody? Merry, merry, merry post-Christmas. How you doing, Jerry?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Doing great.
Good. I'm doing great also. I had a great Christmas spent it in Ohio at our house in Ohio. Had some fun. Endured very cold weather. Every time I go back to Ohio during the holidays, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, I always come back with an appreciation of the weather because Ohio is not a joke.
Well, let me ask you something. I know they had a horrible storm in mm-hmm. Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any kind of white stuff on the ground when you were there or what?
Well, there was snow when we first went, when
mm-hmm.
we first left. We left on Saturday, and we rode out Saturday. Everything was fine all the way there. We ran into some, you know, a little snow or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Not snowing, but it had already snowed on Friday.
Right.
So when we got there, it was already snow on the ground.
Okay.
And it was, you know, regular weather. Now, on
right.
the way back, that was a different story. We left the day after Christmas, and that was terrible. In
Ohio,
okay. It took us 12 hours to get home.
And it normally would?
6 hours.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how bad it was because the closer we got to Maryland, I knew it would be okay because I called my sister, and she was like, no, it's just raining here. There's no snow, no nothing. I was like,
right.
okay, fine. So
mm-hmm.
I told the wife, I said, well, get out of Ohio, the sooner we get out of Ohio, the better.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we got on the road at like 11, I mean, it was snowing so hard, we couldn't see any more than the car that was in front of us.
Wow.
Anything beyond that, it was just white, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it was just big snowflakes. Just, I mean, it was just coming. I mean, it was stacking up, too. So ends up, you know, it's very slippery or whatever. So we had to drive through Ohio, mostly like no more than maybe 40 miles an hour, if that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at some points 20 because it was, you know, it's just backed up because everybody was going slow. And then, of course, you have people from this transient area who don't know how to handle snow, so they were worse.
Right.
Because every time I see a Virginia lights track, I'm like, yep, that idiot's there. He don't know what he's doing. You know? and you know, no, seriously. And then people,
right.
I mean, none of the people who were like from Ohio, Pennsylvania, they weren't off in the ditch. It was everybody who was from outside the area was in the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is crazy. And, you know, then we would have backups for no damn reason. You know, it'd be snow all the way up for like 5 miles, and then you'd come out and you'd be like, where the hell was the accident?
Exactly,
nothing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it was frustrating, I mean, but it was a very long ride. I mean, from here, from Ohio to Breezewood, usually it's about, you know, 2 hours or something like that, maybe three, and then that's the halfway point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but by the time we got to, I mean, we left at 11. By the time we got to Breezewood, it was dark. Just put it
wow.
like that. It was like 6.
Wow.
So then I took over in Breezewood and rode in, and it was pretty much just rain and everything. Once we got past Breezewood, we got into Breezewood, Pennsylvania, and headed towards, what is that, 70?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was pretty much rain, but it was a straight shot. We actually picked up. But, yeah, Ohio and Pennsylvania was terrible. Terrible.
Well, as long as you made it home, made it home safely, that's what counts. So.
Exactly. I was very thankful, but
mm-hmm.
my wife was like, I'll never do this again. I said, no, we ain't leaving the day after that. I said, next time it says anything about snowstorm and the day after Christmas, we staying till,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was like, we're going to stay until whenever. Because if she had did it this way, I think we would have ended up leaving we would have ended up leaving on, instead of the day after Christmas, we probably wouldn't have left till Friday, till yesterday,
okay.
Because there was a storm, because they were saying there was a storm coming right behind it after that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So she was like, if I had turned around, but the only reason why she didn't turn around and go back is because we were so close to the turnpike, she said, I'm just not going to turn around now and go all the way back. So I was like, okay, fine, we'll deal with it. You know, I've grown up a Detroit, you know, boy in Detroit, and going to Ohio for summers and on Christmas. I've grown up doing that because my grandmother lives in Ohio. So that whole scene didn't bother me. It was just aggravating. It was more irritating when you haven't done it for a long time than
right.
anything else, but you pretty much know what to expect. So, but anyway, be that as it may, this is our last show until the new year.
Right.
So I want to say Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to all the people who listen to the show.
Same to you.
Next year is going to be bigger and better. I'm already starting to plan who I'm going to be booking to put on the show. And have.
Okay.
Some people will be well-known. Some people will not. Some people will just be people that I know that I'm giving exposure to. And because we have the power of posting a link so people can go back and listen, and they can be posted on Facebook, I'm going to begin next year to start posting whatever we have that previous week onto the No Chaser Facebook page, and also sharing it with our guests so that they can post it on their networks and at least get some kind of exposure. And then in that case, it may bring us more listeners. So that's
okay.
That's what I'm working on now.
Okay.
In the meantime, the thing I guess I want to talk about first is, for one, Tim Tebow dissed again, which I think is very funny. At this point, I'm not even moved by it. I'm just like, okay, you know. And, I mean, last week we had that discussion with McCall, and I was like, dude, they just don't like the dude. For whatever reason, they just chose and they're not going to do it. And I don't understand why, but, you know. Now I'm with you in the New York Jets boat. It is what it is. You know, I'm just like, you know what, you guys can go down and tank. I could care less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, them and Denver. As far as I'm concerned, if they never win another game, I could care less. I like Rex Ryan too, but I just feel in this situation he just didn't do the right thing. I mean, you had excuses before, but when the guy is concussed, you go back to Sanchez. I don't understand that. That's so stupid because I'm like, why would you bench him? Skip over Tim Tebow, who's supposed to be number two, to go to the other guy. Then when the other guy is concussed, you go back to the guy you sat the first time, but yet you wouldn't sit him the first time because you weren't going to sit him until absolutely positively you were confident that you guys weren't going to use him anymore because you didn't want to break his confidence.
Right.
Duh. So that whole drama, I don't know about that. That's all I kind of say about that. As far as the Avery Johnson thing, am I surprised? Yes. I think he should have been fired? No.
14 and 14.
I mean, I just think
Coach of the month of October and November.
Yep.
Started off 11-4.
Yep.
Now they're 4-11 or whatever it is.
Right.
3-11. 3-10, whatever it is, because they're 14.
But you're 14-14. 14-14. We're talking about an 80-game schedule.
Yep.
And because you're 14-14 and 500,
mm-hmm.
like, really?
Yep.
So I figure there's two factors here. One, you have a Russian owner who knows
right.
nothing about basketball.
Right.
And panicked or has
right.
this standard that is unrealistic because I think Billy King has been around long enough. But let me ask you a question. Is Billy King wasn't he the union, the head of the union?
No.
The basketball players union? Is
no.
that the Billy King I'm thinking about?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay. All right.
No.
Anyway, but
that Billy King is an older gentleman.
Okay, I got you. Same name. Okay, I knew I wasn't crazy. Okay, I was
right.
going to say, was that
right.
the same name? Okay. Well, for me, I just think basically, I mean, from my information, I just think 14-14 is crazy. It's as crazy as what the Lakers did.
Yep.
But to a certain extent, I give Lakers kind of a pass only because they have a legacy and a tradition. This is a team that has a tradition of losing as the Nets. You know, they have a tradition of losing and getting blown. You know, I could understand you didn't even do that in New York, and New York is probably about the most demanding people I've ever seen, other than Laker fans. So Lakers, I can kind of understand why they did what they did. Even though it was a panic move, I can understand because I was like, okay, well, they're spoiled. You know, they're used to winning and always being in the mix. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, what does Brooklyn have? Like, Brooklyn, I mean, I understand Brooklyn built a new place. They're in Brooklyn. You know, they want to desperately compete with New York. And I understand that. They want to get that market and want to get their market share. But for me, 14-14 was, I mean, give New York fans a 14-14 and see if they wouldn't be pissed off about it. They'd be happy. They'd be like, okay, we're at 500. All right, we're good. You know? So I don't understand it, but at the same time, there is no such thing as fair, as he said. But I just think, you know, do I think they're going to get Phil Jackson? Hell no. I don't think they're going to get Phil Jackson. I think the reason why they're not going to get Phil Jackson is because, as I told you before, I don't think Phil Jackson will ever take any team unless he walks in and the plate's already set for him. If he has the tools, he'll do it. I have yet to see him be successful with taking no tools and making – not to say he doesn't – I'm not saying that the team doesn't have any talent or anything like that, but I'm saying this is not Jordan's Bulls. This is not Kobe and Shaquille O'Neal and a great team. This is Deron Williams, Joe Johnson, which are slouches, not bums by any stretch of the imagination. Anybody would take them. But you got those two guys, and then you got some other parts. But it's not a superstar team you walk into, and you have this vocal leader who can pretty much lead anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, and it's not the Heat. So for me, it's just, you know, so for me, it's one of those things where I don't think he's going to take it, you know, and that's typical.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he wants to do it. I think the only thing that will draw Phil Jackson is pay, which I've heard this guy can pay in excess of $15 million and there's no sign. I mean, I just think if he makes some ridiculous, stupid offer, I think he would take it.
You think so?
I think he would take it for the money. I think he would take it for the money. And he would, you know, he would do his best he could, but I don't think he'd be around for long. But I don't think he's going to take it, period, because I just don't think he wants to come back and, you know, think about it. He won 11 chips. He's won everywhere he goes. You know, to struggle would be foreign to him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see it. I'd like to see him suffer like everybody else. I mean, to me, prove it to me. Now if he took Brooklyn and turned Brooklyn around and put them at least in a playoff mix consistently for a few years, you know, you got close. You know what? I give him credit on the 11, but I can't give him full credit on the 11. You know, not based off what he's done. It's like, okay, it's nice, but you know, when have you ever struggled? When have you ever put something together? So it is what it is. But be that as said, I don't know. I don't really know what's going to happen, or what he's. I don't know what's going to happen or what he's going to do. So hopefully they'll get a good coach in there. I mean, they're talking about PJ Carmelissimo coach until they get somebody. But let's hope and see what happens. So, what do you have as far as anything that you want to talk about or bring up or?
Not really,
that?
My man. Not really.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll move on to the next thing, which is this weekend's games.
Okay.
What do you think about, you know what the marquee matchup is in this area. It's Redskins-Cowboys. Somebody's going to be hurt. Somebody's going to be mad. Somebody on Monday is going to be really, really mad. And this is a Sunday night game in primetime. Gets no bigger than this. You know, who do you think will win and why?
This is a very extremely tough game, man, for me to even handicap.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing in Washington. Washington played them close.
It is in Washington?
It's in Washington. The last game was played in Dallas.
Oh, I thought it was in Dallas. Okay.
The game is definitely in Washington.
Okay.
Going to be playing home. I got to believe that the Redskins. This is a very tough game, man. They're playing real tough. And Dallas is playing extremely tough too. And if I had to do it, I would go with Washington being the home team, since that's my normal thing. If it's a close game, I usually go with the team that's playing home with that a little edge. So I would have to go with the home team, which would be Washington. But I wouldn't be surprised if either one of these teams won.
No, I wouldn't either.
So
I would not be surprised in the least if they won.
Mm-hmm.
I myself, actually, I can't handicap the game. I'm like you, but I mean, if you ask me, who would I like to win? I'd love to see Dallas lose. I mean, I'd love to see Dallas win. Actually, I'd love to see it, because I would love to just be giving the Redskins fans the business. Because they're, you know, they're arrogant and they're talking and they're running their mouth all year and it'd be like, ha ha ha. So, you know, we'll see. But for me, if I had to put my money on it though, I would take Redskins, and only because, you know, as much as I don't like it, you know, RG3 is very tough to defend, and with the gifts and abilities he has, I've only seen one team stop that offense. And that was the Steelers. And I haven't seen anybody be able to contain that offense. You know, but like I said, my prediction is they'll probably win, but it'll be a short celebration because I think they're going to have a funeral based on wherever they go. They're not going to have a home field advantage, and I just believe wherever they go, they're going to get smashed. You know, I just do. There's the Green Bay Packers. There is – Seattle is NFC too, right?
Yes, NFC West.
Right. You got Seattle. You got San Francisco. You got Green Bay. You got some pretty formidable teams they have to go through. And I just believe somebody's going to find a way to beat them. And they're going to be out of it. I think they're going to go in the playoffs, but they're going to be out quick if they do. So I don't think they're going to be around for long. And, you know, that'll make all the Redskins fans happy, but, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. As far as the hockey, I have not missed it. I do miss seeing my Red Wings play, but I have not missed hockey at all, and I don't think anybody misses hockey. I just find it funny how, you know, hockey goes on strike, and I'm like, nobody really cares if you guys go on strike, really, because that just shows what, you know, nobody, and if this was the NFL, if this were NBA, we'd have the president and everybody speaking up on, you know, the strike and everything. Remember a year or two ago when both were on strike, you know, you had everybody, every congressman or somebody chiming in on it. If you haven't heard a word about hockey, everybody been like, yeah, all right, whatever, you know. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I do want to talk about one thing, which is the kick heard around the world last night. Wanted to know what you thought about Dwayne Wade's kick. Did you see the film?
Oh yeah, man! I couldn't believe that. I just happened. Someone mentioned to me this morning, and I went up on the website and took a look at it. I'm saying you got to be. You know, I don't know what gets in some of these guys and to do what they do, and think they're on a national stage, on the court, and you don't realize what's going on. I mean, come on, that was like the dumbest thing you could possibly do.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I thought it was, I, to be honest with you, when I looked at it, I was like, you know, how could you say that's an accident? I mean, I looked at it. I was like, there's no way that guy pushed him that. You know how hard you would have pushed? And even if he pushed you, you wouldn't put your leg up.
Right.
Why would you put your leg up when you're falling back? He didn't push you that hard for your leg to fall back. I'm sitting here looking like, I know when a guy, I've seen a guy get, now when you're getting tackled or you're getting hit full force or you just get pushed off balance and you
mm-hmm.
don't expect it.
Right.
Yeah, I can understand your foot going up and you kick, you know, you're trying to catch your balance and you can't. But
right.
when you're talking about trying to run, you know, somebody gives you a little bump and your leg comes up in between the other guy's legs and you're sitting here telling me that wasn't on purpose, I'm like, and where you put it at, I'm like, seriously?
Right.
And these are the same people who said, these are the same people, not the same league, but these are the same people who find Dalakun Sue for kicking a guy, you know, who barely kicked the guy in the groin.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I'm looking at this and I'm going like, really? You know, I just, like I said, the suspension without pay got me, but I was like, you know, to be honest with you, you did that to the wrong dude. You got hit for that. You got punched for that one. I mean, that's just terrible.
You're absolutely
right. I mean,
when
you kicked him right in the groin. Even the Ndamukong Suh didn't just go right up under the dude's cup. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that was. But the one thing you could say about Ndamukong Suh is that he was tackling somebody. He was on the ground when he came up.
Right.
But you talking about this? You talking about a guy who got nudged and basically just kicked the guy his private parts? I'm just like, really? You know. And I said, to be honest with you, I kind of thought Dwayne Wade got away with a good one because I know if he did that to me, I'd have just had to get suspended. Because I think
yeah.
I'd have just gave him a nice little sucker punch just to let him know, like, Slim, you ain't going to never, you ever. I want you to understand, I'm willing to take a punishment. I'm willing to get suspended for
mm-hmm.
a while
mm-hmm.
just to give you the message that you will never do that again. And
right.
I wouldn't apologize for it. And, I mean, I know I'd get suspended probably for a while, but I'd be like, nah, dude, you can't do that. Because to me, when you do something like that, and then what got me was, you suspend a guy without pay for one game. For me, I thought, like, that's something that if it's that bad, it should be something that's going to hurt, something that makes sure that he's never going to do it again.
Right.
What's going to deter me from doing it again if all I do is put my foot up and hit you in your nuts, and then the next thing you know, I'm standing there like, and then all I get is a slap. I miss one paycheck and one game. Like, that don't hurt. Now, you give me a nice little 2-week joint, that hurts. With no pay, oh, the
mm-hmm.
dude would have a fit. But guess what? I'd be like, well, you just gonna have to fight it because for 2 weeks you ain't gonna be seen. That would assure that would never happen again.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny. Some people were, you know, later, like just before I came on the show, I was looking on Facebook and to prepare for the show, and some people were on there debating it. And a lot of guys, you know, just were saying just like all together the Heat is, you know, a very dirty team. They flop a lot and they cheat a lot. Because like I said, that brings it to my next subject is that game in Oklahoma City was ridiculous with the Heat. That was just on Christmas Day. That was terrible. That is the most, and I don't know what it is. I don't know why. But people say it, and people just, and Heat fans just act like it doesn't exist. And I'm sitting here looking at the film going like, Slim, these refs are cheating. You can't call the stuff you're calling. How do you sleep at night knowing you call this stuff? I mean, some of it was just so terrible. It was so obvious. You know, I mean, some of those calls were just ridiculous. I mean, at the end, like the one where they didn't call it on, Westbrook at the end when the guy, Dennis, knocked him down.
Right.
Didn't call it. I mean, I saw some of those calls, and I just said, you know what? And somebody was debating, and like I said, when I saw it, and somebody said, one of my friends said, well, you telling me he flopped as much as Jordan? And I said, I hate to disagree with you. I said, but let me tell you something. Jordan got the same treatment LeBron get. I said, the difference is they're doing it worse and longer with LeBron than they did for Jordan. I said, when Jordan first won his championship, they did sort of the same thing they did with LeBron. But after that, it was all Jordan. I said, but Jordan always got the foul calls. He could foul you, you couldn't foul him. He could touch you, you couldn't touch him. He could bump you, you couldn't bump him. I said, the same thing that they doing with LeBron is the same thing they doing with Jordan. I said, look, I said, let's face it. When the NFL, when the NBA has their prize person, when they determine this is going to be our ambassador,
Mm-hmm.
They give him all the same treatment. Don't touch him. They can touch you, but you can't touch him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can foul you, but you can't foul him. He's going to get all the calls. He's going to get everything he gets, and that's it. But what I don't understand is this: is just the respect, the disrespect to me that they give to KD and the Thunder. And I'm just like, why? I'm like, how many times are you going to keep bailing these guys out and giving or handing it to them until you start being fair and start letting them earn it? Like, let them earn it. You know, KD's supposed to be so much of a superstar. Let him earn it. You know, so for me, you know, I was kind of upset about that, but I just turned it off. I just said, man, you know what? I said, y'all might as well call the Heat, Oklahoma City game, the Heat and the NBA and the refs versus Oklahoma City. I said, it might as well just be called that because down the stretch, you know, I said, I'm pretty sure if they were down 15, 20 points, you know, with 3 minutes, 4 minutes left, half those calls would have never been made.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but now they're made when, you know, they're a threat to win the game. And y'all start with this stuff. And I just said, it's just to me, you know, it's just despicable. I mean, period. So let me go through these games. And let's see where we are as we agree or whatever the consensus. Oh, I did want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Now, here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the two records that are up to be broken this weekend will be broken? Do you think Adrian Peterson gets the record, and do you think Megatron is the first receiver ever to have 2,000 yards in a season?
Well, first of all, Detroit throws the ball more than any other team in the NFL, so I think it shouldn't be, as long as he, knock on wood, doesn't sustain some type of injury.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make sure that Megatron gets that record.
That's what I think, too. It's only 104, I think.
108, whatever it is.
Something like that, 104,
yeah.
108 yards. Which is regular for him anyway,
mm-hmm.
over 100 yards anyway.
So 200, I think Adrian Peterson needs, I think, 208 yards. I mean, not to say that he can't run for 200 yards, but it's much more difficult.
He ran for 200 last week.
I understand that, but no, not last week, because he played the Houston Texans last week. You know, he only ran for a little more than 80 something yards.
Oh, okay.
But
it's
a little bit more tougher for a running back to get the 200 yards to get that much yardage, especially against a team that mm-hmm. division rival and the Green Bay Packers. I think they're playing the Packers. We're going to make sure that more than likely you're going to make sure that he's not going to get that record on their watch. So
I'm pretty sure. I was pretty sure of that. The only thing is, you know, even when he goes up against a defense that's stacked against him, he always seems to get his yards. I mean, I know he didn't get 100 with you guys, but
mm-hmm.
goddamn, he still got 80. I mean, it wasn't like y'all just shut him down. It's like, it's so hard to shut this guy down.
Right.
That's the thing that's so amazing about Adrian Peterson. It's like, okay, we can have, you know, 6-8 in a box or whatever, and it's like, so?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think his offensive line, I think they're so good with their blocking scheme and he's such a violent runner that he gets it anyway. I don't see Green Bay. I think it's tough, but I don't see Green Bay stopping him. And the reason why I say that is because Green Bay is not known as a real good run defense, if I'm not mistaken. People have been gashing him this year. But, you know, like I said, we'll see. But definitely, I agree with you 110%. It is definitely, definitely harder to get that than it is for Megatron. If Megatron gets it, I don't understand why he's not he wouldn't be considered in the MVP race. But I guess that's because the team is only 4 and whatever. Whereas Adrian Peterson and him have a chance to go to the playoffs, but that's not for sure either.
Mm-hmm.
But me, myself, if Adrian Peterson gets that record, and he gets Comeback Player of the Year, and they give it to Peyton Manning, it's BS. That's just what I think. Because I don't care what anybody says. Anybody who looked at Adrian Peterson last year and thought that man was going to do this, that's just, I mean, that's just ridiculous. Like somebody said today, you know, it wasn't that we didn't ever think that Peyton Manning would play again. We just didn't know how quick he'd come back.
Exactly.
So it wasn't like he was injured. You know, it wasn't like he was injured and sustained a, you know, broken neck or something crazy and came back. You know, but I just think there's too much favoritism towards Peyton Manning, and they're going to try to give it to him any way they can. Now I believe that if Adrian Peterson, I think if Adrian Peterson's getting close, they'll give him Comeback Player of the Year and give it to Peyton.
Mm-hmm.
If he breaks the record, I think they would have no choice but to give it to him. I personally think they would have no choice because I think the outrage would be just like, what? You know, I that's what I think. I think the outrage from fans would just be like, nah, he deserved that. You know, they would give me some thrash back.
Do me a favor, Mac. I got to put you on mute for a minute. You can just keep going with the show, but I'll be right back.
All right, no problem.
All right.
I want to read an article that I see here about Rex Ryan. And with Rex Ryan, I'm going to read this, and, you know, it's from Florham Park, New Jersey, and this one says, New York Jets coach Rex Ryan vehemently denied a report that he would welcome being fired if owner Woody Johnson fails to make offseason changes. That is totally untrue, Ryan said. The fact is, and it's simple, this is the only team that I want to coach, period. And I think anybody who knows me knows that I'm telling you the truth. Ryan, who was mad as a hornet after he read the New York Daily News story, held a team meeting where players described him as both angry and so upset that he openly cried. Rex has always been a fighter, and he taught us how to fight, running back Joe McKnight said. It hurt me to say stuff like that. He was crying, too. He was that mad, that hurt. You hurt a man like that, and he cried. Jerry?
I'm here.
Okay, I'm just reading this article.
Yeah, I heard the article.
Okay, no problem. And the article suggests Ryan is looking for a way out. The article suggests Ryan is looking for a way out after what has been a difficult, at times comical season. It's criticism that Ryan felt he needed to address publicly, not just with his team. I don't want to coach anywhere else, Ryan said. I'm not stepping down, no chance, and that's the truth, Ryan added.
Mm-hmm.
It bothers me that I feel I have to comment on it because it was so strong out there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the comments?
You know,
did he say it? Because I don't
know.
No.
His father used to be a coach, and he was part of the coaching staff that won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
He has long ties with the Jets. One of his favorite teams, besides maybe Baltimore and maybe some other teams, but one of his favorite teams. It's not his favorite team. It's the Jets. So he has long and strong loyalty to the Jets. So to say that he wanted to give the owner basically an ultimatum, either you give me some more weapons and do things that need to be done that I want or I'm leaving, come on. Who does that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
No one does that. No coach. That's like coaching suicide. You know,
right.
There's no way that and it's got to be, I don't know if it's within the organization or if the press is trying to muster something else up, but someone's trying to, in some way or form, trying to torpedo his coaching.
Or what they want him
out. Yeah, his job. And to him to go to great lengths after he saw the article to call his owner saying that this is definitely not true. I never said anything like that, not even remotely close to that. And then have to call a press conference to defend himself is absolutely despicable in my mind. That's whoever and whatever caused the person to either leak this. I wouldn't say leak, because leak insinuates that it's true. To actually come out and put this story out there is an all-time low, in my opinion. You know, it's sneaky. It's low-handed. It's not right. And it's low down.
Okay.
So,
and that's coming from a former guy who doesn't like the Jets. So
mm-hmm.
I take that opinion pretty high.
No, man. Because the fact that that's not right. You can't. I mean, even if it was somebody from Detroit or from the 49ers or from any other team, and it comes out and it says something like that, no coach that I know of that I can ever recall, and I've been watching football for a long time, would ever come out and say that about his owner. And then, come on. No one
make no demand like that, right? You don't make a demand like that as a coach and say, well, if you don't do it, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. I didn't think he said it, but I just didn't know if he said it. I was like, did he really say that, or did he say it in a roundabout way? But I was like, okay, obviously he said no. So I was like, okay, well, he didn't say it. And then, like
mm-hmm.
I said, for you to say that, I knew. I was like, well, that's something to it then,
mm-hmm.
you know. But that's a good segue into this next, and this is next thing I want to talk about briefly is Mr. Donovan McNabb. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard what McNabb said, but Donovan McNabb, well, I'll read the article to you. This is what he said. Donovan McNabb was much maligned during his time with the Eagles, but now that the team is struggling toward the potential end of Andy Reid's tenure as coach, he says Philadelphia fans didn't know how good they had it when he was quarterback. McNabb, as an analyst for Comcast Sportsnet Philadelphia, was asked what Reed's legacy will be in the city if the coach is relieved of his duties after the season. He said it's unfortunate that the focus has been on the Eagles' struggles of the past few seasons, 4-11 this year and 8-8 in 2011 in the face of weighty expectations, and not the continued success Reed's teams have had in the past. You look at everything he's been able to accomplish, I think it outweighs what you see in the last 2 years, McNabb said. McNabb led the Eagles to 4 NFC Championship game appearances and a Super Bowl where Philadelphia fell to the New England Patriots. His time with the team ended unceremoniously, however, when he was traded to the Washington Redskins before the 2010 season. Making it to the NFC Championship is not as easy, and I think they're starting to see that right now, that getting to the playoffs and going to the NFC Championship consistently is just not that easy, McNabb said. There are teams right now who have winning records, like the Atlanta Falcons. They've done it for so many years, and they get to the playoffs, and all of a sudden they're one and done.
Mm-hmm.
He said for much of his time with the Eagles under Reed, it was about how much we were going to win. It was about how much we're going to win by. It was about how much we were going to win by, and that he and the coach shouldn't be judged unfavorably because they weren't able to win a title. The Eagles are 130-92 and 1 and 10-9 in the playoffs during Reed's 14 seasons with the franchise. People want to make it look like you have nothing to show for it. Well, we have a lot to show for it, he said. So what do you think about his comments? Do you think that they had it good when Donovan was there?
Yeah,
they had it good
when Donovan was there, regardless of how it ended up. Look at how they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're in disarray.
Yep. All that money they spent.
Right? And the perfect analogy is the Patrick Ewing in the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Never knew how much you had it. They pretty much ran him out on a rail.
Yep.
But every year that he was there, they were strong contenders, whether for the Eastern Conference.
I said they were in the mix.
Yeah, absolutely in the mix. And then after he left, pretty much they were in disarray for quite a while, and they're just fighting their way back from that. So,
mm-hmm.
yes, be careful what you wish for, because when you do wish for it, then you're going to be screaming because the fact your team is so bad or you have trouble in the position that you got rid of a player like Donovan McNabb, who is a serviceable quarterback, and now you're struggling, even though you have Michael Vick. You're struggling at that position, and this team is struggling. So,
I mean, I agree with that. I mean, I agree with everything you just said. I mean, you know, they. I mean, when you look at, it's funny, you forget the record unless you're a fan. And with me looking at what that man just said, especially looking at the 100 and something to. I mean, I was just like, wow, and like four NFC Championship game appearances and one Super Bowl. I mean, but to be honest with you, 130-92 and one. For me, and they're 10-9 in the playoffs, I mean, as a fan, really all you can really ask to me, here's what I think you should ask for as a fan, and this is just me. I know you want a title, but what you want the most to me, I think, as a fan, is you want something, you want it to where somebody you want to be in the mix every year. You want to have a chance. You want to be getting into the playoffs and getting in deep. You know, yeah, there are going to be years you don't go two or three games in. There are times you're going to go one game in. But every year you want to be in that mix. You want to have a chance.
Sure.
And that just seems to me, you know, to me it just seems that, you know, they weren't satisfied with it. But if I were a Philly fan, I'd be happy with what Reed did. I mean, yes, 2 years, but shoot. If my coach had that kind of record, I'm great. I mean, just like people are down on Detroit because they went 4-10, but I'm like, well, but you got to understand, I don't want my coach to go because look at what the year we had last year. Okay, we're off a year. But I can. It's not like we have everything we need, and it's just bad coaching. We got serious holes we have to fill. We don't have that, and I think sometimes, as fans, we get too. We ready to jump and want to like fire the coach. You know, and I'm like, Slim, we don't have a defense. Like we don't have. Like we have a great defensive line, but we don't have a secondary. We need another wide receiver other than Calvin Johnson. We need two or three of those that are going to catch, so we can spread the ball around, and they have to play them honestly, one-on-one.
Right.
And I know what we need because I watch the games every week. So do I want to fire the coach? Heck no. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but you got to go through the bumps like this to get to the good times. You just have to do it. You know,
right.
And enjoy it while you can, because I don't think there's no team in professional sports that's ever said, we've won every year, all year, every time, we've never stopped. We've always been in the playoffs, always been in the mix. Never. Every team has gone through the struggle because you have to retool and redo, and this is what you go through.
Right.
And, you know, coaches have to take that, you know. So I agree with you know, everything you basically said. I think people, you know, I think Donovan McNabb, now that you said it, is like Patrick Ewing. They just don't appreciate him. You know, they just go like, yeah, it's all right. You know, it's kind of crazy. And it just – you know, it doesn't make sense. So, you know, it is what it is. But the other thing I wanted to talk about also is let me go through these games with you, and I wanted to at least look at the scores and see what your predictions are. I did want to ask you though. This is, I did not see the play, but I did hear that they fined Ed Reed $55,000.
Yes.
Did you see the hit?
Yes, I saw the hit. And the hit, in my opinion, was a legal hit. It was a shoulder high hit. And I don't understand. I guess they're trying to say it was a helmet to helmet, but from what I'm looking at, when I saw the replay more than once, it looked like a legal hit to me. It was high. It was a high hit. Ed Reed does hit high, but it was a high hit, but it looked like a legal hit to me. So
the only thing I can't understand though, this is just me. I mean, I don't know if it's just me or what. But I don't understand that most hits in football, a helmet's going to touch 9 times out of 10. I don't know anybody who every time you come to a player, you just hit, you hit him, you you know, if I take my helmet and put it in your chest, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get flagged.
Mm-hmm.
If I take my, I mean, what am I, my thing is like, what am I supposed to do? Like, am I supposed to just, I mean, I don't understand, because every play, every game, I see a player hit another player, and it's always, you know, somewhere the helmet touches or hits or whatever. You know, I just don't understand that. I mean, I understand they're trying to save the league and, I mean, save everybody from concussions and all that kind of stuff, but I just think it's getting to the point where you can't play football anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, you just
yeah,
like to tackle somebody and it's like you're going to get a fine.
Right. Or like, if you watch the, and I'm pretty sure you did, you watched the Seattle Seahawks and 49ers game.
Uh-huh.
The hit that Vernon Davis took.
Yeah.
And it was a vicious hit.
Yeah.
But he got a flag for it. He got
yep.
a personal foul.
And I didn't think that was necessary.
And I think because it said it was a helmet to helmet. And if you look at it, if you replay it, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hit, a high hit. It was at chest height,
right.
shoulder chest height, and no
yeah.
helmet hit. It was just a big hit.
But even if it grazed it, it wasn't a helmet to. It wasn't. I'm saying to me, a helmet is when I take my head and I pop my head in the. I run my head into your
right.
head.
Right.
It's not because I hit two bodies hit. And on
mm-hmm.
the way away from each other, we both hit helmets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't
understand it. And like I said, I just think it's going to get, but you know, I just think it's going to get to a point where either, I mean, now I do believe that guys should. I mean, I think the most, to be honest with you, I think if guys learned how to really tackle the way they're supposed to tackle, I think we could end a lot of the helmet to helmets. Because
mm-hmm.
I think the most. I don't know if it is, but I think the most lacking skill in football now is tackling. Like, nobody
mm-hmm.
tackles anymore. Everybody throws their body towards somebody and hope they fall. They throw an arm or a foot or a leg towards somebody and hope they'll fall. Or they throw their body, duck their head down and throw their body at him and hope he fall. And I just, that kind of bothers me. And I'm like, that's much as a safety issue as anything else, and you're flailing your body at somebody you're not even looking.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the same time, you know, I don't know what to say, man. I mean, you know, it's gotten out of hand. You know, it's just gotten out of hand with the whole helmet-to-helmet thing. And I just think, I tell you what, I would not want to be the commissioner at this time in the league. I hadn't said anything about the bounty scandal, but I'm going to say something. And I guess this is the part that bothers me about the whole bounty scandal. And I'll say it this way. Even though Tagliabue basically vacated the suspensions for those guys, I think that was the wrong decision. And I tell you why. Because it is a fact, a known fact. And even when Tagliabue investigated it, it was a fact that these guys had participated in it. And this is the part I can't get past. Nobody seems to agree with me, but this is the part I can't get past. Everybody, basically what Tagliabue did is blame the management and the coaches,
mm-hmm.
saying that they made these guys do it. And in my head, I'm going, that's a bold-faced lie. You can't tell me, how can somebody make, that's like, you know what that's like? That's like, I'm just saying, in the real world, you couldn't go to your job, Jerry, and your boss tell you to go steal. And because you're on company time, you go steal, and then you come back and basically say, my boss made me steal. Jerry, you're going to jail. You're going to jail, Jerry.
But nobody's going to believe you.
Nobody's going to believe that your boss, because the police are going to say, okay, unless you're retarded or stupid, you had to know that was wrong.
No,
even
it's not
boss,
that. It's not that simple, man. Come on. It's not that simple. You're talking about these guys, a professional athlete or an athlete is taught to do what the coach tells you. Plain and simple. Do what the coach tells you. The coach is telling you to go out there and hit as hard as you can. And the object
the object. The unwritten rule is this. You hit whoever you're supposed to hit as hard as you hit them.
Right.
To stop them for one, and if you put them out of game, that's even more than that much better.
I don't have a problem with that, though, Jerry. Jerry, I agree with you. That's not what I have a problem with. What I have a problem with is everybody know the rules. You're not supposed to put up money in a pool to do it. It's illegal. Everybody knew. So here's what I'm saying to you. Just take my scenario.
Yeah, I'm listening.
If you come to me and tell me, go out and hit somebody, that's fine. If I don't know anything about the money, if I'm not doing it for that, if you tell me go out and y'all have a pool, let's say management has a pool, and they don't tell me about it, they tell me to go out and hit as hard as I can and go out and do my thing, fine, I'm going to do my job. That's not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
But when I knowingly participate in something that I know is wrong, and how can me as a moral, I'll use basketball, forget football. If my coach told me, you need to go out there and play hard-nosed defense, and look, man, he has a bad knee, go out there and see if you can clip him with your knee, hit knee to knee and put him out, I'm not going to do that. And if it means me sitting on a bench, if it means me getting fired, if it means anything, I'm not going to do that because, here's what I'm saying, because maybe I'm just a different dude, I always think about how would I want to be treated if it was me. And I wouldn't want nobody to do it to me. I ain't doing it to you.
Well,
and
no,
to me, there's a moral thing.
See, okay, I understand what you're saying, but the point, the fact is, they didn't send these guys out there, or whatever took place. None of this took place to go out there to harm somebody. If within the rules of the game, they hit someone and put them out of the game, they would get rewarded for that. Not for hurting the person on purpose, but playing within the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And if you happen to put someone out of the game, or if you happen to completely out of the game, or play, or for whatever type of hit that you sustain on this person, you would get rewarded for it.
Okay, let me ask you. So is that legal? Let me ask you that. Is that legal?
Well, let me put it this way. It's been an unwritten rule for, I think, since the age of football that money, other than when they were getting paid, other than whatever their wages were for whatever games they played, that there was extra money put out there to give an extra incentive just for competition purposes between players.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, saying, I got a one-up on you, even though these guys are getting X amount of dollars for what they do. Because these guys are so highly competitive that this is an extra incentive, and I got you this time. I hit this guy so hard, I put him out of the game, or I stopped him, or had a hell of a hit and caused the guy to fumble. That's added incentive. It's not meant for money to hurt somebody. It's added incentive to make a play, make an extra play to benefit your team.
Okay, but that's not what. But it's a fact that wasn't the sole purpose of that. The sole purpose
was
to put in money. But why is every? What I don't understand is why everybody keeps ignoring the fact that it's illegal. It's illegal to take money and
point.
Put it in a pot.
You're missing what I'm just. I just told you. This has been an unwritten rule that the NFL, for the longest, has turned their heads the other way and let take place. But, just listen to me, but now, because the NFL is getting sued up and down for all these lawsuits about players that are hurt, that haven't gotten taken care of, why do you think there's such a big push on player safety now? And there's a big push on protecting players from concussions. If all these lawsuits never came to fruition and never came about, you wouldn't have heard anything about protecting players from concussions or going the extra mile for concussions or the buzzword player safety that you're hearing now. But because of all the legal things that is going on against the NFL. This is CYA for the NFL.
No, I agree. Here's my thing. I don't have I agree with everything you said. The only part I can't get past is that I don't give a flying football why they're doing it, when they're doing it, or nothing. The fact of the matter is, on the rule book, written in the rule book, whether they chose to ignore it or not, no, because here's my thing. I don't believe in trying to go out. I believe that when you're going out to play to make, there's a difference in making a play for your team. You go out and you do your job. You hit hard, whatever the results of it are, that's fine. But I believe that when you put up money for something, an added incentive, it makes it more intense. It makes it worse. I'll give you an example. I was coming up. You play basketball one-on-one with a guy to win the game. It's one thing.
Right.
You put up $100. That's going to turn into an ugly game. You might have to leave fighting. Because at that point, it's gonna be a whole different game when a guy's trying to get some money, and when that's an incentive. So what I'm saying is, so for somebody to sit and tell me, not you, but I'm saying for some people who have told me, sit and tell me, well, they've always done it. They told me the same thing, and I said, but here's the thing. But the thing is, I don't even care, because here's the thing: if it's my league and it's my rules, and I choose to enforce them, fine. If I choose to look the other way for years, okay, fine. But the fact of the matter is, when I signed on as a professional football player in this league, the rules are you're not supposed to do it. So if you do it and they look, okay, fine. You're still wrong, but they just didn't catch you or they didn't decide to catch you. That still don't mean that it's okay to hit somebody late, get flags, and try to put them out.
See, that's different. That's different, Mac. You just said what you just said, hit somebody late or hit him in the mouth. That's different than playing within the rules and getting an added incentive within the rules. Now, if you go outside, when I say within the rules, I'm saying within the rules of in between the lines.
I know what you're saying.
Okay. I understand that you're sticking to the letter of the law, but like I said, and I'll keep on saying it, this is not something that just popped up the last couple of years. This is not something that just popped up the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. This has been going on for a long time.
Sure.
And the NFL's known it's been going on for a long time. And and they just haven't done anything about it, because it didn't hurt the game. It for all intents and purposes, for the fans, it benefited the game. Now the only reason they've been prodded to enforce this rule is because of the lawsuits. Otherwise, it would have been status quo. Otherwise, they've still been looking the other way, and not enforcing the letter of the law. Now the letter of the law, well, you got guys that have been doing this for years. Now all of a sudden they got to change their ways. It's not going to come overnight. It's not going to come when you snap your fingers or blink your eyes or twitch your nose. It's not going to happen like that. It takes time, and for the most part, it's going to take time. Like the guys that have been in the league for so long, those guys are going to slowly get phased out, and the new guys who are used to the new rules will be able to deal with it a lot better than the old school guys that have been doing it for such a long time and now have to change their ways. That's just the bottom line of it.
I mean, for me, like I said, for me, when I heard that tape of that coach sitting there telling them guys, you know, to go for certain body parts and things like that, and if that's only one excerpt of what it was in there, then I can only imagine it wasn't just go out and do your job. It was go out and knock that dude out and go towards body parts. Now, I don't have a problem with that, but like I said, here's my thing. If it is a law, if it's against the rules, that's a fact.
Okay.
Did they warn them repeatedly? That's a fact they did. For a couple years, they warned them, in fact, and said, if you're doing this, stop it. If you're doing it, knock it off. So it wasn't like they just came out of the blue and said, hey, man, we got you. All right, go ahead and do it.
I understand that. But if you're the coach.
So from my thing is they should have – here's my thing. From my part, moral, whatever you want to call it, if it's against the rules, you should be punished for it. If you've been warned, you really need to be punished. And if you were asked to come to the commissioner's office and you blew it off, you should be punished. You get whatever you get.
Well,
I don't feel sorry for these guys, and I think Paul Tagliavue weakened the commissioner against doing anything.
Well,
because I think now everybody's going to challenge something.
Well, let me put it this way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The coaching staff, including the general manager, all got suspended for X amount of time, whatever
right.
it was, 6 months, a year,
right.
Indefinitely.
Right.
There was different levels, okay?
Right.
All the players, all the suspensions that were they were trying to enforce were lifted, gone. It was something that was, for the most all intents and purposes, promoted by the coaching staff, and I think in particular the defensive coordinator Greg Williams. So what I'm saying is this: you're taught as a football player. Your coach
mm-hmm.
tells you to do something, you do it. Now,
not when
there's
I know
a lot
it's
of
wrong.
Wait a minute. There's a lot of politics in professional football.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, I shouldn't say football. There's a lot of politics in professional sports.
I
understand that. If one thing, if you don't listen to a coach,
mm-hmm.
You won't be playing in the league. Another thing, if you go rat out. What's going on? You damn sure won't be playing in any league.
Well,
so you know, you damn if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
Well, I mean,
wait a minute. And if you're in under a coach, and the coach
mm-hmm.
tells you to go out there and hit this guy hard, and this is an added incentive. If it was me, there's no way. I'm taught as a football player when I was in Pop Warner all the way up
mm-hmm,
high school,
mm-hmm.
college, and now
mm-hmm.
I'm lucky
mm-hmm.
enough to get on a pro team and playing on a pro team. There's
mm-hmm.
no way I'm getting millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars to do what my coach tells me to do, and
mm-hmm.
he has the power to sit me on a bench or send me packing.
Right.
I'm going to go rat out what's going on.
Oh, I wouldn't rat.
Wait
a minute. I didn't say rat out, but there are ways to handle that situation that a coach wouldn't do that.
Like what?
Because obviously
refusing to do it.
No. I've gone to a coach and said I don't feel comfortable doing something, but I pull them aside in a private conversation. I've done that in school or in high school. I've done that to his coach who said, you know, go out here and do something to somebody, or you know what, make sure you give him a pick and you give him a little extra elbow. I'm not that type of guy because I know if he give it to me, I'm gonna knock him out. So
mm-hmm.
for me, I just went to I pulled a coach to the side and said, hey, coach, look, I ain't trying to disrespect you. I'm not trying to do it. I really don't feel comfortable taking that extra elbow and hitting that guy. I give him a hard pick, but I can't do that, man, because I don't like that. Now, I grew up a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So there were certain things I just didn't feel comfortable doing because I was always taught, do unto others as you want to do unto you. Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I'm perfect, not saying I never did that, but there are certain things, it's like everybody has their moral line where you're like, man, look, I'm not doing that. So
mm-hmm.
for me, that line was oh, do this little extra shot and make sure you lay his ass out on a pick.
Right.
Okay, I'll do my regular pick, but I'm not going to give him nothing extra to put him down because I know how that feels. I'm
right.
not going to do that, and that's not cool. But I don't have to go rat anybody out, but as a responsible young man, I pull my coach to the side with respect and say, look, sir, I'm not trying to disrespect you, but I don't feel comfortable doing the extra part. I do whatever. Now, the result of that has been that a coach has said, okay, now I might not be in the play. I might be sitting on the bench.
See? That's what I'm talking about.
But my coach, but I didn't stop playing. A coach didn't say, all right, I'm kicking you off the team because you wouldn't
do
what I said.
But is this a professional football coach,
mm-hmm.
when if you come up to a coach and say, I'm not comfortable doing that, a professional football coach is going to take that as a weakness. Or is going to
okay.
take it, this, wait a minute,
right.
take this guy as being soft, and I can't count on this guy in a situation where I may need him.
But,
so I'll go in another direction because this guy is not willing to go the extra mile for me. You follow
that,
me?
And that brings me to my question that I've always said, you know, that I've always said and always, you know, and as I've grown older, I've gotten kind of tired of it. Is that I always say, when do we as people stop selling out our moral right and wrong thing?
Well, see,
because we're scared of, wait a minute, because we're scared of what we lose. I'll give you an example. I'm going to give you a great example.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to say anything about it, but I'm going to say it now. I'm not with the Bellway Bombers anymore. That happened about a week ago. And the reason why I'm not there is because I took a stand on something.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved being with the Beltway Bombers. I loved what I did. I love coaching. I love the guys. All those guys are my friends. Those are guys,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them I brought to that team. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the coach, Chaz, that I had on this show, let me go. By text, of course, not professional calling me. But simply because it's the No Chaser show. I'm going to say it. I don't care. He was lying to players. He was lying to players. He lied about the championship rings we were supposed to get. He said he had ordered them and said they were on back order and they were backed up because they were so crowded. I called the company. They said they never had an order. They talked to him, but never, an order was never placed. He lied about it. He said we were having them on opening night at our home opener. Now, a certain player had made arrangements and spent money to bring his family in because he's figuring he's going to get his championship ring, semi-pro championship ring, on
right.
opening night.
Right.
He never tells anybody. He tells me, thinking that I'm going to tell everybody else. He doesn't tell them that. Fortunately, I told people and got it around because I realized he didn't tell them.
Right.
So that saved them. You know, save face, whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of issues, but my main issue with the coach, with Chaz, was that he lied to players. He would do things like, instead of cutting the player and saying, hey, look, man, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to go with these 9 or 10 dudes. He didn't do that. What he would do is he would take players and give them bullshit lies to keep them on ice for the week so they didn't play so he could make room for another guy that he thought was better or a guy who would give him a better chance to win.
Mm.
Okay. I mean, he just lied about a lot of things. I remember the time he lied to us and told us, you know, we were going to, me and two other players, we're going to ride down to North Carolina to this tournament. There are going to be some agents and there will probably be some scouts there. So we're going to go down to this tournament. Not only did he lie about that, because we get down there and find out it's a tournament in the hood in North Carolina, but then when I get there the morning to go ride, because he says we're all going to ride down, I come, he doesn't tell me his license is done in 3 or 4 states. He doesn't tell me he doesn't have a license.
What?
He doesn't tell me he doesn't have a license. I know the other two players don't have a license. I know they don't. But I'm expecting him to ride. So when I get there with the car, guess what? Once we're on the road and I find out he ain't got no license, so guess who has to drive?
You.
Right. But instead of telling me ahead of time, you're going to be slick and lie and just get me out there and then switch up on me when I get out there.
Wow.
Example number 2. We go to Brooklyn first game of the season. We go to Brooklyn. We ride. He rents a van. We all ride up in the van. Whole time he planning on his wife to drive up in a car to meet him up in Brooklyn. He doesn't tell none of us that. None of us. None of us that. We ride up in all together, team. We ride up, play the game. We get outside of the joint, 10-20 minutes outside of New York. We stop at a rest stop. Guess who drives up outside the rest stop? His wife in his car. The same car that I saw sitting in the driveway when we left in the van, and they put a generator in. Not thinking about it. They just put the generator in there. This was during the storm up there when everybody was going to long gas lines or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was right when that thing was going, when that was happening, but it was kind of, you know, it was already had passed and everything was getting better, but they still had long lines.
Right.
So he calls us over, me and one of the coaches and a player. and sets the key down and says, hey, man, I got to go with my wife. I'm going to ride with her back. She rode up here. I'm going to ride back with her in the car. You guys decide who's going to drive the van.
Wow.
Nigga, you done bumped your head. I left and said, I'm not driving. You know why? Because this happened the first game of this season. I remember what happened last summer, at the end of last season, when he told us about the North Carolina thing. So I saw it all over again. Oh, you doing this again. You put people in positions where you don't tell people that that's what you was planning. You put us in that position so you wouldn't have to ask us. So basically what I'm trying to tell you is that this guy, Chaz, is number one, a coward and a liar. And that's the most dangerous person in the world because that, between those two, that's a thief.
Wow.
So for me, when I started to find all this stuff out about him, when I found out that he was lying to players and doing all kind of stuff like that, I was telling the players because these are my friends. Because, Jerry, I'm an assistant coach. So get this, Jerry. If he's lying to them and I say nothing, it's not my business, well, guess what? I'm a culprit. I'm saying it's okay. I'm not saying nothing.
Yep,
so
you're right.
I was doing that by my silence. Now, here's my thing. I'm in basketball circles. So my reputation and my name is everything.
Right.
Because hopefully one day I have my own semi-pro team. One day I'll be working for a semi-pro team. Whatever happens, wherever God leads me, that's what it is. But I have a future in that. So my thing is, don't mess it up. And plus, number one, these are my friends.
Right.
If I'm your friend, Jerry, and somebody getting ready to set you up for something, you would expect me to tell you if I knew the truth.
Damn right.
You don't want to find out later that I said, man, I knew all along that dude was doing that. Because you would have been like, well, why didn't you tell me? You're supposed to be my man.
Exactly.
Even if you ain't my man, you know me. You the coach on the team. Like, you're supposed to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. And I got fired for it. I got kicked off the team for it. Unprofessionally, by text. Told that I was backstabbing everything else. You know why? Because I was telling players and other people the truth about what he was really doing, and I was criticizing him. But do you know why I did that? Not because I'm gossiping, backstabbing, or anything like that. I did it because the two times that I tried to have the talk with him over the phone to his face privately, every time I would start talking about it, he would jump off the phone and get mad and say, this is bullshit. Why are we talking about this? When I mentioned to him about the thing in Brooklyn, he told me it was BS. Nobody should complain but the guy who drove the van, who chose to drive the van. He should be the only one feeling inconvenienced. We don't get back till, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning from New York. We drive in the van and everything like that. And you drive off with your wife back to New York? Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the kind. So what I'm saying is I didn't notice going into this. But this year I kind of started to see it a little bit. But as I saw it, I started telling my players. I got players emailing me and hitting me on Facebook talking about they frustrated because they don't know. Guys aren't stupid. People aren't stupid. They know when they smell bullshit. Like, look, the reasons ain't adding up. Like, why am I playing 1 week? Next week I'm not playing. And then he got this excuse and, well, I can't do it because of this reason and that reason. And they're frustrated. So me as a person, I'm not going to sit there and perpetuate the lie. I know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could have said to them, go talk to him about it. But why? All he gonna do is lie to him some more. So it don't matter. So I owe it to them, and owe it as a person that has to answer to a higher calling. I gotta tell him the truth. Hey, look, man, this is really what's going on. He ain't cutting you. He really trying to hit you on ice because he got somebody else he wants to bring in and see what they looking like. This guy is constantly looking for new talent. He's a talent hog. He's constantly looking for new people. He's not loyal. He's loyal to certain people, but certain people he's not loyal to. He shuffles people. He only cares about players as far as, like, chess pieces, and that's what he cares about. He cares about winning, and he's scared of losing, and that's what he is. So, you know, I took it on the chin for that, but what I'm saying is I was willing to stand up for what was right, and lose at something that I liked. But for me, it meant more to me for my reputation and my name and the person that and the God that I have to answer to, that meant more to me than sitting on the sideline and being with the players. You kind of get what I'm saying? And that was what I really loved to do. I love that. I look forward to game day. But, you know, in the end, I look at this is the last part. And then when he was offered an opportunity by one of my players and his father who got him together and said, why don't you sit down and talk it out to him and ask him, have you ever talked to him or ever warned him or ever told him anything? No. He said, well, how can you do this? You've never talked to him. You've never told him this. He, you know, at first his excuse was he won't take the meat. The whole thing was he never wanted to take the meat because he didn't want to get exposed and he didn't want to have to deal with himself. And he
right.
knew he would if he had that talk. So the easiest thing was to say he won't take the meeting. But when the person said, oh, he will take the meeting, he's already told me that. We just waiting on you. Then it became, well, let me think about it. And then it came back to, no, I'm not going to do it. And then it became, well, you know, next year, you know, after the year, I'll reconsider it. No, you won't, nigga, because I ain't going to be around. Because I'm not going to do that. I'm not going
mm-hmm.
back. And
mm-hmm.
to be honest with you, Jerry, all I'm using this as an example to say that you're right in what you were saying about the football thing and stuff like that. But my thing is, I'm so sick of people only taking stands when it's safe, not when you don't take a stand, when you stand to lose something. Like, what happened to right and wrong? What happened to caring about your neighbor, the other person? What happened to I treat others as I want to be treated? When do we sacrifice something that we love for the greater good, for what's right?
Yes,
and that's
so
the problem in our society that I've seen. And I'm not saying the football players weren't doing their job, but the only thing I'm saying is the fact that there was a rule. I mean, there's an unwritten rule that I'm not supposed to do what I did to the coach. I'm supposed to shut up. I'm supposed to go along. If I have a problem, I'm supposed to go to him and talk to him. But what do you do when you know what's going on is wrong and you can't do nothing about it? Are you scared to do something about it because you were afraid to lose? I could have sat there. You think I didn't think about losing it? You didn't think
mm-hmm.
I didn't think I was going to get it? Was I surprised? No. Was I scared? Hell no. Did I say anything? Did I say thing to other people and stuff and think that it wasn't going to get back to them? Of course it was. I didn't care because my thing was I didn't say anything that I wouldn't have said in his face anyway.
Right.
So for me, Jerry, what I'm just trying to say is I understand what these dudes do, but what I'm saying is I think they should have been punished simply for the fact that it was an illegal thing that they participated in. And as a grown-ass man, you can't tell me that the God that we serve or God that they serve or anything else looked at them and said, it's okay, he told you to do it, and that's cool. Because that's not what my Bible teaches me. My Bible teaches me if I know right from wrong and I know it's wrong, I shouldn't participate in it. And if it be that as it may, that I'm in trouble or whatever and I don't get picked up, guess what? At that point, if I have nothing to lose, then I go back and say it. But I'll try to handle it. But I'm just saying, I understand what you're saying, but what you're basically saying is there's a lot of fear of loss, whether it's loss of salary, loss of opportunity, loss of not being in the league anymore. There's a fear. That you lose something. If you do this, you'll lose this. And that's what holds people to do things that they shouldn't do. And that's the problem with this society as a whole, is that we only stand up when it's safe, not when we're going to lose something. It was like, I give you the last example. When I can't remember who the WNBA girl was who came out and admitted she was gay. Whoever she was, and she admitted she was gay. And everybody kept saying, oh, she's so brave, she's so brave, she's so brave. And I was like, bullshit, she wasn't brave. She's damn near done with her career. Now she tells? That ain't no risk.
Mm-hmm.
She's a year from leaving the sport. Why wouldn't I tell you? What you going to do now? Go back and recoup all the dough you gave me?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just kind of saying that all I'm saying to you is that, you know, I agree with what you're saying on the surface. I don't really disagree with any of it. I just believe they should have been punished because of the facts. And the facts were is that the money made it illegal. You weren't supposed to be doing it for that. Whether they look past it or not, when you go to a company, if a company decides to fire you for it, they can fire you. If they decide not to, they can decide not to. But if you knowingly know what the rules are and you participate in something that you knew was wrong, you knew it was illegal, you're not stupid, and you participate in it, you should be punished. I don't give a damn about it, because if the coaches are punished, I don't care. If they tell me to go take a gun and shoot myself in the head, am I going to do
different.
It? No. I'm not going to do that.
But professional sports is different than normal society.
I get that.
And you try to equate things that in normal society and a regular job versus a professional athlete, it's different. It's different.
No, I mean you're right, but you know what it is? I guess in my mind, I fear not being blessed. I fear doing the wrong thing and having the repercussions come back on me because you
sure.
reap what you sow. Mm-hmm. I'm more afraid of God and what His law says. I know how I've been blessed, and I know what I've had. And
mm-hmm.
if I go in and do something that I shouldn't, there are certain things that I know if I don't do it, I'm in it. I'm advocating that. I'm saying it's okay. Even when I don't say anything, I'm making a choice. When I don't do anything, I'm making a choice. If I participate, I'm making a choice, whether I said it verbally or not. So I guess what it is that maybe that I'm just different, but I'm just more afraid sometimes of the repercussions of what God's, what the punishment's going to be for me and what's going to come my way, the repercussions of my choice, more so than what I have to gain. But that comes through the fact that there are many things that I've walked away from. There are many things that I've lost that I have not gotten back greater, that God has given me more in return later on down the line. It may not come immediate, and I may hurt for a little while or whatever, but I've gotten back better later. But when you don't, have confidence in God to supply things for you, when you stand up for right, when you line up, and I guess this is kind of different because I don't usually talk like this to people, but here's the thing. If I line up with what God says, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be blessed. Now, I've done this for all these years I've been living, so I've seen the results of it. Some people haven't. I have. So I've seen that if I do this, 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 and this, this comes. If I do this, 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 and this, this comes. So I've seen too many times where I have done the right thing. Not saying I'm goody two shoes. I'm not saying that. But mm-hmm. as I've gotten older, I've gotten more in transit in my way. Now I'm starting to wake up and understand, like, I can't. Okay, this is why this happened, because I did this. So what I'm saying to you is, now as I've gotten older, from probably about my 30s, when 30 on, is that I've been more like, okay, I make my mistakes and I ask my forgiveness and I ask the Lord to forgive me and I try to turn it around and do different. But I guess what I'm saying is, there are certain things that I just know, like, look, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing this, because I know what I'm getting. And by not doing it, I've lost things. I've lost friendships. I've lost things. And I had the same pressure to say, well, damn, you know, if I lose him as a friend, then I lose his clout. I lose his health financially. I lose this or I lose that. And that's what always comes at me. But I have to learn to resist that and say, I can't do that. Because if I do that, that's wrong. I can't do that to that person just because this. For example, today, I'll give you one more example, and then I'll be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
A person, two people was beefing today on Facebook. Used to be very good friends. And I was just so shocked. Both of them just battling, beefing. You know, one put the other person off. And one of the guys posted something, and I didn't realize he was mad at this other guy who was his best friend, who I was shocked at. I mean, this was like, this would be like you and Vic all of a sudden tomorrow just being like, Jerry on our network no more, I don't see him no more, he's a faggot, he's this, he's this, he's this, he's just talking real bad about you. I'd just be like, well, wait a minute, hold on, time out. Where the heck did you come from with that, and what the hell did Jerry do? You know what I'm saying? It's one of those type things. You just be shocked.
Right.
Came out of nowhere. So I said, So when I talked to the person told me who they were mad at, because I asked them straight up, and they said, I'm mad at so-and-so, we done, da-da-da-da. I said, oh, okay, let it like that. Soon as this other person, so the other person, I texted them, because they had asked me, did you know who he was talking about in this post that I had marked, I had put like, but I thought I didn't know he was talking about that person. So anyway, the person he was talking about, I texted him and said, I know who he's talking about, you know, he's talking about you. What happened? Well, the person texted me back and says, take a picture of all the comments on the post that you saw. Now, most people would do that. I didn't, because the voice in me, inside me, said, immediately, if you do that, you're participating in perpetuating
yep.
more between them and drama. And
yep.
that's not what I called you to do. You should be for peace. Now, I know God said that. I know that is exactly who said it, because it came so clear as soon as he said it. And it was the hardest thing for me to do as a human being, because that's my guy. But the other guy's my guy, too. But more than that, I knew it was like, nah, dude, I'm not perpetuating. And I told him, I said, you know what? I'll participate in, and this is exactly what I said. I said, I'll participate in anything that gets you guys back together as friends. I'm not going to participate in anything that perpetuates anything that keeps this drama going. I'm not
mm-hmm.
going to do that. I can't do
right.
that.
Right, right.
And the person said, okay, I'm going to get off the all right, I'm going to call you back. Now, that person may be mad at me, but you know what? I don't want to, because I can't do that, because I got to look in the face of the other guy and say, well, I snuck and did. Well, I'm participating. I can't do that, man.
Right.
Because there's a
right.
price to pay. And I wouldn't want nobody to do that to me, Jerry. You see what I'm saying? I want somebody to be, look at what just happened to me. I want somebody to be loyal to me, too.
Right,
so,
exactly.
So what I'm trying to say to you is I just think you're right about the sports. You're right about it's a different thing. But for me, I guess what I'm asking is something that's not often done. It's rare when it is. But, you know, at some point, as a society, we have to be willing to sacrifice for what we do. But if you have no faith in God to replace, if you have no faith in God to replace what you're going to lose by doing the right thing according to Him and His Word, then you're left in the state that society is in now, which is, I'll do it because I don't want to lose this. I'll go along because I don't want to lose this. I'll
mm-hmm.
go along because I won't want to lose that. And that's what always keeps you. But that's also what keeps people doing the stupid stuff they do, such as your boy is in your neighborhood and he goes out and wants to stick people up. And it's because that's my boy. I'm going to go along with him because if I don't, he's going to be mad at me. I'm going to lose him. He may go against me, and I don't really want to do that, so I'm going to go ahead and tag along. Now he's killed somebody, and you're driving a freaking car. So guess what now, dumbass? You're going to jail simply because you were too scared to stand up and say, nah, man, I can't do that. So it's the same thing. It's perpetual in this world. And sometimes I just get mad, and I just figured, and I just was, you know, I was just kind of upset because I kind of figured that, you know, I just thought the players should have paid some price. You want to reduce it, fine. But do I think Vilma should have had a whole season off? Probably not. But you could have gave him 3 or 4 games or gave him something, let him feel it. But they got nothing. So to me, what's to stop them the next time? They may stop now because, of course, now they're going to be looked at and they won't do it again if it ever happens again in their careers. But the fact of the matter is, I find it hard. Me, myself, I don't think it was fair that the people above them went and took the punishment and the players who did it simply got out of it because they were, quote-unquote, forced to or told to, and because players are told to do stuff and they're taught to do what their coaches say. And I'm just like, that's the most bullshit excuse I've ever seen in my life. Because if that coach told them to go out and do something that they found was morally more reprehensible, they wouldn't do it. They would stand up, and they wouldn't care because they know that society would stand up to them. But if I say no to going out and hitting somebody because there's money in a pool, that's not righteous enough. So I'll get blackballed, and I'll get pushed out of the league. So I won't
mm-hmm.
say that. And that's the truth of the matter. And that's the part that just bothers me, is I just think if you do wrong and you know wrong and you're a grown man, you should do what you were supposed to do. You're supposed to do the right thing because you're a grown man. You knew it was wrong. You knew you shouldn't do it. You should take your punishment and shut up. If it was me, I'd have took the little day. I took the games off, lost the bet. I would have did what I had to do, and I wouldn't have did nothing. But it is what it is. But anyway, my man, that's it for the show. I know it's 8:28, we overtime, but I'm going to let you go on your Friday night. But I just want to tell you, man, I appreciate you, man, this year. And next year is going to be a better year for the show. I'm going to do more to promote it and push it. What I'm going to try to do is space out my guests in 2-week intervals. So that
okay.
way I can promote the guys, get a little more viewership, a little more on Facebook
right.
and Twitter of who's coming
right.
on the show, so we can generate a few more listeners and get something going. So Happy New Year to you, brother, you and your family.
Same to you.
You have made my year very interesting. You guys have all, you, Black, Vic, all of y'all new friends, and I've enjoyed you guys. You guys have made me laugh probably more than I've laughed in a long time. It's very funny. You know, I just have too much fun. It's like being a teenager again. You know, you mess with your boy. You know, the whole Too Sweet thing, that was just terrible. That was just, oh, my God. That was just so high school, man, but it was so much fun. So I just want to thank you guys for the laughs. Thank you guys
No problem,
for everything.
Man. It's
and,
been a pleasure. You bring a different perspective, which is always welcome. I'm always open to different dialogues and different points of view.
Yeah.
So this was a good idea to start the show, and I look for bigger and better things in the new year.
Yeah, because next year I'm probably gonna speak about my faith a little more and include that in there just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not preach
mm-hmm.
to everybody, but just show. I feel a need. I think God is putting on my heart to just take segments where I say, hey, look, man, here's something that I food for thought. You know, here's what the word says. Here's what this means. Here's what you should do. Blah blah
mm-hmm.
blah blah blah. Whatever. But you know, like I said, man, I try to bring a little different flavor. I am different, and I just wanted to make sure that I, you know, I just bring whatever I can to the table and make it thought-provoking and make it something that people are interested in and say, you know what, I learned something today. You know, I heard something outrageous, but you know what, made me think a little more. And that's what I do. And that's why I enjoy Facebook so much, because people say the most funniest stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things that make you think, things that are just totally stupid and ridiculous, but at the same time, it's not boring. So for me, you know, I just want to say from me to you, man, thanks a lot, and I look forward to next year, man, definitely.
Same here. And I
all
guess,
right, man.
I guess we're out.
We are out. We will see y'all next week, next Friday, 2013. We will be brand into a new year, new opportunities, a new year, a new chance to make changes and do some different things. So with that said, we are out. Thanks, Jerry.
See you.